for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday morning, September the 1st, 1985. Labor Day weekend, teaching and deliverance seminar being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Tommy Cook of Tulsa, Oklahoma is the speaker of the morning.
Can we stand once more? Our Father, again, we thank you for what you've done in your people today, Lord. It's not by might, and it's not by power, but it's by your Spirit, Lord. And again, Lord, we thank you for this place of Lake Hamilton. We thank you for the people that have come. We thank you for the anointing of God. And Lord, we thank you for the fellowship we've had. We thank you for the word of God that's went forth and the blessings and the healings and the deliverance, Lord. And we ask, Father, you keep your hand over this place and over Brother and Sister Miller and, Lord, everyone that's associated with Lake Hamilton. God, we thank you and we bless this place. We thank you that it's a lighthouse for people to come, Lord, and be restored and to be helped. And God, we thank you. We thank you for Brother Pittman's ministry, Lord, that's come forth, Lord. We thank you for this brother. We thank you for Brother Bill and the other musicians, Lord. We thank you for everyone, Lord, that's had a part in these services. And we bless them, Lord, and we thank you for them. We thank you for those that have come from far and near, Lord. Those that have sacrificed to come. God, we thank you for their obedience unto you, Lord. And we bless them in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. You can be seated. I'm sure glad that we could be here with you this time at this place. You can't get this everywhere you go, can you? You know, one little boy one time in the church looked up to his father and said, "Father, what abomination are we in?" Well, we're not in an abomination here. We're in the presence of the Lord. And we've come out of some of those abominations, haven't we? Some of us. Praise the Lord. Okay, turn with me in the Scriptures to 3 John. 3 John. We want to talk about the enemy within for a few minutes. And how many know we have an enemy today, brethren? And we need to know who our enemy is. And how many know our enemy uses people as well? Now, we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but we are fighting against powers and principalities, the rulers of the darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places or heavenly places. That's what the Scripture says. In 3 John, look at verse 9, the apostle said, "I wrote unto the church." How many know God's people need to be warned? "I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not." Well, how many has ever been in that place where others didn't receive you? Amen? And how many of you have been in places where they were glad when you left? Amen. Well, this brother was writing here, amen, to tell about this one who wanted the preeminence. Well, how many know that's the place for Jesus? He's the preeminent one. And yet here was a man in a church, over the church, you see, and he did not receive the brethren. And it says, "Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words," and that's evil words, wicked words, "and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church." Praise the Lord. Now, how many know there's a lot of BTO? Big time operators. Amen? But there's no place for that in the body of Christ. Isn't that right? We're all one in the Lord. But yet here was one that wanted to have the preeminence. He wanted to have the dominance. He wanted to control the church. And he would actually cast out those people of God. Praise the Lord. And brethren, I'm telling you, all over the land we have BTOs. We have one man shows. We have dominant figures in many churches that will not allow the Spirit of God to move and not allow God's people to move in the Spirit many times. And God hates that thing. Amen? Turn with me to the book of Revelation. Book of Revelation. In chapter 2 of Revelation. Revelation chapter 2. Praise God. Revelation chapter 2. Look at verse 6. "But this thou hast." God said, "You've got something." Told the church at Ephesus, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Now, if God hates something, you better hate something. I was studying recently on 15 things that God hates in the Scriptures. And believe me, God hates workers of iniquity. You know that? You know that? Not, the Bible said God hates the workers of iniquity. Psalms 5:5. And right here, God says He hates this thing that was in this church. How many know that the church at Ephesus was a high calling church? It was called the sonship, wasn't it? And yet what happened was here, brethren, it says here that they left their first love. And God said, you better remember whence you're fallen and repent lest I come quickly and remove your candlestick. Now God can light it, but God can put it out. Hallelujah. And He can remove it. And yet in this church, brethren, there was this deeds of the Nicolaitans. Now, I'll explain that in just a minute. Look down in verse 15, I believe it is. Look in 15. So hast thou also them, he told this other church, that hold the doctrine. So it went from the deeds to the doctrine or the teaching, you see, here in this church, of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Now, how many, you say, what does that mean? It's actually this, the clergy, the ministry, dominating the people of God. They take the place of the Holy Spirit, and the people cannot make one choice for themselves. They have to go through the ministry, and that's abomination. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now, we don't teach rebellion against the ministry. But every move you make, you don't have to go ask your elder. You better ask Jesus. He is the elder. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen? Amen. So God hates that thing. Hallelujah. How many's ever been in a place like that? Amen. Well, God hates it. If God hates it, we must hate it. Now, we need authority. We need God's authority and God's government. We don't want to rebel against men and women of God. But I'm telling you, every move you make, you don't have to ask your elder. You need to ask Jesus to make sure it's right. Now, sometimes you have to go to the elders. Sometimes you have to go to the ministry for confirmation and for them to pray over you. But how many know many times we go and it's the wrong thing to do? Amen. Amen. Unless they're led by the Holy Ghost and hearing from God. Amen. Now, turn to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Praise the Lord God. Acts chapter 20. Remember, Jesus is standing on the outside of the door in the last church age, and He says, behold, I stand at the door and what? If any man open up, He said, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. That actually means to have an evening meal or to dine out with Jesus or eat with Jesus, to sup with Christ and him with you. And how many know the hand speaks of the ministry, the apostles, the prophets, the teachers, the shepherds, the evangelists. And there are many places they cannot get in. Why? Because we have BTOs. And they will not let the apostles and prophets come in many times. They will not let them in. They are a threat to them. But it's the very thing the church needs today, brethren. They are foundational ministry. How many know we're not built upon the shepherd's ministry? We're built upon the apostolic and prophet's ministry. Now we need all the ministries. We thank God for all the ministries. And we need the shepherds' ministers. We need the teachers, the evangelists. But we need apostolic ministry and prophets' ministry desperately now in this hour. Amen. Amen? Now in Acts 20, notice what the scripture says. In Acts 20, 28, take heed. That's a warning. Paul is talking to this church that had lost their love. He said, take heed therefore unto yourselves. Who's he speaking to? He's speaking really to the elders. Look back in verse 17. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of what? Of the church. And notice elders there is plural, the church is singular. And so he called for these elders of the local church. And then in verse 28 he said, take heed, brethren. Take heed. There's a warning. How many know the shepherds need to be warned? And here's an apostolic ministry warning the shepherds. Take heed, brethren. He said, therefore to yourselves first, and to all the flock, that's God's people that was in the local church, over the which the Holy Ghost have made you overseers, or shepherds, or bishops, you see. And of course, we use today the word pastors. But the thing is, how many know the Holy Ghost has to make a man a shepherd if he's a shepherd? Amen. Amen. Man can't make himself a shepherd. He can't exalt himself to be an elder. The Holy Ghost has to do that. But notice it says, the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. And what's an overseer for? To oversee the work of God. How many believe that God put Glenn and Irma here to oversee the work of God?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And it says here, brethren, notice, which the Holy Ghost hath made your overseers to feed or to shepherd the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know That word know there is oida. Absolute knowledge. Revelation knowledge. Absolute knowledge. Paul said, I know something. He said, I know this, that after my departing, when I leave you guys, when I leave Ephesus and the church and the elders, he said, grievous wolves will what? Enter in where? Among you. And how many know that wolves are coming in among the flocks today? Amen. And brethren, we need discernment. If you're over prayer groups or churches or whatever, you need great discernment today. Amen. To know those who are of God and those who are not of God. Because the one next to you may be Antichrist. Can you hear that? Notice, he says here, I know this after my departing shall grievous wolves enter among you, not sparing who? The flock. He's after the flock. Also, he said, of your own selves, even the elders, even the shepherds here, shall men arise speaking perverse things or perversion. Now, what's the perversion? Here it is. To draw or drag away disciples after them. God never called you just to follow men. He called you to follow Jesus. And if you follow men, you better make sure that he's following Christ, as Paul said. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Christ is the anointed one. He is the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. If a man's following the Holy Ghost, then you can follow that individual. Praise the Lord. But if he's not, you better cut the tie. Somebody say amen. Amen. But he said here, they're going to rise speaking perverse things to drag disciples after them. Jesus said, if you bear forth much fruit, then you're my disciples indeed. He said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. Amen. Now, yes, God has raised up ministries to teach brethren, you see, of all people. But the thing is, we are his disciples. Amen. Let's all say that. We are his disciples. Say it again. We are his disciples. Amen. Amen. So we can see here that these brethren was going to begin to teach and speak things that would cause man to follow them. And let me warn you today, if you're a minister here, if man starts following you, you better cut the tie. Amen. There are actually people that actually worship ministry. Did you know that? And that's an abomination to God. Your worship is to Jesus Christ. Your allegiance is to Jesus, not to man. Amen. Verse 31. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. You see, if a man really loves you, he'll warn you. And Paul said, I did it with tears. For 3 years, he warned this church, didn't he? Now, why was this church so attacked by the enemy? Because, again, as I said, they were a high-calling church. They were called to sonship. And every sonship church that I know, brethren, are being attacked. That's moving with God. Can you say amen? How many know they teach sonship right here? How many know they have attacks right here? Amen. So we better pray for them. And then he commended them to God. So we can see this church had a lot of problems. Now turn to Revelation chapter 2 again. Revelation chapter 2. Praise the Lord. Revelation chapter 2. Look in verse 2. Here's where the enemy came in now. I know thy works, thy labor, thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them. Tried them. You've checked them out, proved them. Which say they are apostles. You know, the real apostles are not those who are going around bragging about it. Amen. Or prophets or whatever. I don't care if they call me water boy. It don't matter, you know, whatever ministry God's called me to, I magnify it in the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. But how many know it doesn't really matter what title we put on ourselves? You know. Amen. And just because a man comes saying I'm an apostle, doesn't make him an apostle. You got to see the marks of it from the Scripture. And by their fruits, you will know them. Not by their gifts, their talents, or, you know, good looks or bad looks or whatever. But he said here, brethren, he said to this church, thou hast tried them which say they are apostles. Now, we know an apostle is a sent one by the Lord into the church, and are not, and has found them to be what? Liars. And where's liars going to end up? Lake of fire. Lake of fire. And so they came into this church. Well, how many know Paul said, I fought with a beast at Ephesus? So this church really was attacked by the enemy. And the higher you go in God, the more attacks you're going to have. But the more power from God and discernment of God you need. Amen. To be able to deal with that. Amen. Good. Praise the Lord. Now turn to 2 John again. 2 John in the Scriptures. Praise the Lord. 2 John. I'm like Brother Pittman. I believe there's a lot of things on television that's abominations being taught. And I'm not going to name any names or anything like that, but I really believe that. And they're coming into our homes every day, if we allow it. In 2 John, chapter 1, look in verse 7. For many deceivers are entered into the world. Okay, again, the world is what? The lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Now he said, the deceivers have entered the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is, not shall, or has, but is come in the flesh. Now that's in your flesh and my flesh. Why? Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Right? Now notice here. Hallelujah. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. An antichrist means anti-anointing, doesn't it? It means that which is against the anointing, and also it means in place of the anointing. How many know that Judas worked against the Christ, the anointed one, for 30 pieces of silver, and Jesus was replaced by Barabbas. They said, give us Barabbas, but crucify Jesus. Are you hearing me? Amen. So it means against and in place of. And when we talk of Christ, we're talking about Christ the head, the Lord Jesus, and Christ the body. Antichrist is against the head, and he's against the body. Amen? Hallelujah. But he said here, this one is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look for yourselves that we lose not those things and so forth. All right. Praise God. Now, look in verse 9. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the teaching of Christ, in the teaching of the Spirit, the anointed one, hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine. What doctrine are we talking about? The doctrine of Christ, where we have the Father and the Son. If any come and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house. Now we look at our homes, and that's fine, but this is a house right here. How many know you're a house today? House of God. He said, don't receive him into your house. And I want to tell you, there are cults, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, and all the others that's coming knocking on doors. And every time I see him, I start binding that spirit in my neighborhood. How many know we have the power to bind the demons in our neighborhood? Amen. And this doctrine wants to come in. But he said, he that would receive him, let him come into your house. He said, don't do that. Don't receive him. Neither bid him Godspeed. For he that bids him Godspeed is partaker of his wicked or evil deed. So you better discern, brethren, who's knocking on your door and who wants to come in. Amen? Hallelujah. Not just in your house, but this house right here too. Praise the Lord. Now turn to 2 Peter chapter 2. And I pray God in this hour will raise up shepherds after God's heart. Amen. That will love God's people and will warn God's people. And allow the fivefold ministry to come and go. Hallelujah. And also to allow it to be raised up in the local fellowship. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, but there were false prophets also among the people. I suppose that was Israel. Even as there shall be false teachers, where? Among you, church, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies. Damnable heresies. Even what? Denying the Lord. And as Brother Glenn said this morning, one of the most damnable heresies that's come in the church is that ultimate reconciliation teaching. Amen? And I want to tell you something else. God did not make the devil a devil. The devil became a devil when he fell. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. But now notice here. It says here, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Many, you're talking about a large following, many shall follow their pernicious ways, their destructive ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingers not, and so forth. They're out to get out of you what they can get. And I'm telling you, I'm tired of seeing God's people being ripped off by ministries. Through the mail and by fraud, TV, whatever. How many know that if God calls you and sends you, He'll provide for you? You don't have to beg and plead. You don't have to, like Brother Pittman said, God told him not to ask for one thing. I'll tell you, his needs have been supplied, and everyone that's called, commissioned by God will be taken care of. We don't have to beg and plead. I'm tired of hearing crying preachers plead. One time in Oklahoma not long ago, a man took 7 offerings up in a meeting because he didn't get enough money. Our God is able to supply. We get on our knees and cry to God, and God will meet our needs, won't He? Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, there are many people crying out, faith, faith, faith. Well, I'm going to tell you, there are people that's walking around that's living by faith and never say much about it. Amen. It's not how much you say anyway. But the real faith will do the job. The faith of Jesus. Amen. Don't shout me down. The truth. Amen. And brethren, if you've been ripped off by other ministries, then you let God speak to your heart from now on. Amen. I was in a place, and this individual told me his wife got a letter from this evangelist. He said, I see you praying. He called her name. I see you praying for me. And then he asked for a large sum of money. He described what she was doing. Well, it couldn't be true because I just preached her funeral several weeks before. So there's a lot of fraud, a lot of things going on in the body, isn't there? Turn over to Zechariah 14. Let me show you this. The last verse. Yea, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be holiness to the Lord of hosts. And all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them and seethe them. And in that day there shall be no more the Canaanite, where? In the house of the Lord of hosts. Now before I tell you what that is, how many's ever got any holy rocks through the mail? Huh? You got any tent, you got any pieces of tent for offering? Or any holy water from Jordan? You got what? Red rubber band. Another brother sends his handprints through the mail. Got a nail. Well, right here it says, there'll be no more Canaanite in the house of the Lord. What's that Canaanite mean? It means a peddler, trafficker, and a merchant. And if you've been ripped off through the mail and by the ministers, and blame yourself, but you've learned a lesson. So God says it's in the body. Turn over to another scripture. Turn to Micah. Chapter 3, verse 11. Thank you, Father. Micah 3:11, the heads thereof judge for reward. These are the princes. They judge for what? Reward. How many know Balaam had gift would travel for money? How many has ever studied on Balaam's life? How many know there's the heir of Balaam, there's a doctor of Balaam, there's the way of Balaam? 3 scriptures. And right here it says that the heads of the princes thereof judge for reward, and the priests thereof teach for hire, and the prophets thereof divine for money, yet will they lean upon the Lord and say, is not the Lord among us, none evil can come upon us. What deception. We're talking about ministries coming among God's people. Amen? And Peter said there would be a heavy following that would follow their pernicious ways. And I want to tell you where they'll lead you, brethren. They'll lead you into the beast system because they're beasts. Now turn to the book of Jude. Jude, verse 4. Says, for there are certain men crept in. Now, the Amplified didn't say crept in. It says they come through a side door. You got a back entrance? Look out. Isn't that right, Brother Miller? They've crept in. They've come to a side door. Notice, unaware, who were behold of old ordained to this condemnation. Notice, ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And so he's putting them in remembrance. Now, I want to tell you something. The devil would like to destroy you, wouldn't he? He would like to deceive you and lead you into the beast system. Amen? And how many know that God brought his people out? Just because you come out, and just because you've been circumcised. Now, they were circumcised in the natural. But we've been circumcised in the heart. But just because we've been circumcised in the heart doesn't mean we're going to take the inheritance, or going to have the inheritance. Look at the next verse. How many know their bones bleached in the wilderness? God said in verse 5, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that what? Believe not. And those kind of ministers will lead you in doubt and unbelief. They may cause you to be destroyed. Can you hear me? Now come on down in the chapter. Look in verse 10. Verse 10, but these speak evil those things which they know not. But what they know naturally is brute beasts. See, they're brute beasts. In those things they corrupt themselves. Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. And Cain was a murderer, wasn't he? He was rebellious all the way. He was of the wicked one, the scripture says. And ran greedily, notice, after the error of Balaam for what? Reward. Now, Balaam was a prophet. He had had visions of God. He had been visited by God. And yet he died as a soothsayer, didn't he? He was killed. And perished in the gangsang of Korah. And Korah was that rebellious bunch that rose up against the authority of Moses and God opened the ground and they went down into Sheol or Hades. Alive. We're talking about rebellion, aren't we? Verse 12. These are spots. How many know he's got a church without spot and wrinkle? These are spots in your feast of charity. How many feasts are there? Passover? Pentecost? Tabernacle. God said they are spots. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. There is no fear of God in them, no reverential fear. Secondly, clouds, they are without water. There is no life. God said to me one time, I was traveling, it was woke. You know where you spoke it? We woke up, Brother Pittman. As I was coming around their place there, the Lord said to me, and there are destructive clouds. How many know that? We know that in the natural. But we're talking about people. We're talking about false ministries, aren't we? And right here, clouds, they are without water. There is no light. How many's ever seen a cloud come over? And you thought, bless God, we're going to get a good rain, and nothing ever happened. Huh? And here comes the cloud in, and we say, bless God, we're going to get blessed, and you don't get anything. You get the wrong thing. They're after what they can get. Cared about a wind. These are winds of false doctrine that toss you to and fro, brethren, that God warns us in Ephesians. Trees whose fruit withereth. I mean, can see that they're dead. I mean, know the trees that God planted has got life in them. He said, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. And then he said, without fruit, there's no fruit. And by their fruit you must know them. Twice dead. That's eternal death and that's spiritual death. Plucked up by the roots, raving waves of the sea, foaming out of their shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And if it's forever, they won't get out. How many believe that eternity is for eternity?
Amen.
And if man goes to hell, he'll be in hell eternity. He'll not come out. There's no purgatory, brethren. No side door. Yeah. Amen. Amen. But how many know those that go to be with Jesus, you'll be with Him forever too.
Amen.
Wherever He's at. Hallelujah. And I believe He's coming back to the earth, don't you? Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes. Now turn back to Revelation chapter 2. About 10 more minutes. Is that all right? All right. Revelation chapter 2. Praise the Lord. Revelation chapter 2. And verse 9. Here was the church at Smyrna. He said, I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews. How many know today the real Jews, the Christian? The one that's been circumcised. And we have a lot of people saying they're Christian. They are saying they're Jews and are not the synagogue of Satan. You know, he's got some churches too.
Amen.
Amen? Hallelujah. Well, there are those who are saying they're Jews. There are those who are saying I'm a Christian. And yet he said they're not. They're the synagogue of Satan. Then, chapter 3, verse 9 of Revelation. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, and are not, but to lie, do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and to worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. So there were those coming into the church saying that they were Jews. Amen? Amen. Now, look also in this chapter 2. I've got to give you another verse here. Turn back to chapter 2. Praise the Lord. I believe it's chapter 2. And I want to find the third message to the third church. Well, I don't have it marked here. Somebody may have to help me here. The third message to the third church. Verse 12. Let me see here. Okay. Alright, look at it. To the angel, now let me tell you something before I read this. Now hear me. The third message to the third church, the third seal, and the third trumpet all speak of famine. Two of them especially spiritual famine. One natural famine. As well as the other. Well, it could be both. But in verse 12 he said, to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works, church, he said, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's throne is.
Now, who's he talking to? He's talking to Christians, isn't he? He's saying the enemy's throne was right there among the God's people. Well, how many know if the enemy's throne is among you, that means we're in a spiritual famine, we can't hear God as we should. Huh? If the devil's in authority, because when you talk about the throne, you're talking about authority, aren't you? God's people's in a famine. Amos said there'll be a famine, not for bread and water, but for hearing the word of the Lord. Amen. All over. And it says right here, I know thy works where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And notice, but he did tell some, thou holdest fast my name, has not denied my faith, even in those days when Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth. So there was a famine in the land. How many know there's a famine today?
Amen.
Among the churches? Because he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Amen?
Amen?
I want to close with one verse. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. Now, I could go on. I got so much on this subject that I could teach on, God gave me. But I just want to share one more verse with you. I've learned not to try to preach you to death. I used to try to do that. But I'll tell you, I sure enjoyed that last night, even though it was long, Brother Taylor. It was really good. How many enjoyed that? Amen. He had to go that long to get it all out. I know he did. But it was good. In Matthew 7, in Matthew chapter 7, look at verses, let's see here just a minute. Matthew chapter 7, look at verse 15. Beware of what? False prophets. How many know that a false prophet has a false spirit? Beware, here's a warning, of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing. They're going to look like a sheep, aren't they? They're going to say, yes, we're wearing his righteousness. We belong to Christ. But inwardly, God said they are ravening wolves. Now, you know what happens many times? How many know that a wolf likes to bite things? Tear up things, especially the sheep. And a wolf will come to a sheep. And you know what he'll do? He'll bite that sheep. He'll poison that sheep. He'll give that sheep rabies. And that sheep will foam at the mouth and will attack the leaders. A wolf doesn't always attack the leader. He might. But he'll pick the sheep off. Amen? He'll attack, bite, poison, give the sheep rabies, and the sheep will foam at the mouth, and they will bite the shepherd. And how many know sometimes the churches are split into over it? And God says, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly their heart is not right with God. How many know if a man is a true prophet, he's going to have a good heart towards God and towards you. But he's going to speak the truth. He's not going to come to deceive you or rip you off. Thank God. So there's an enemy. We have to have great discernment in this hour. Let's stand. Have lunch here. Shall we bless the fruit of food also, Brother Glenn? Father, we thank you for your word again today. And God, we thank you for the warning that's come to us today. Lord, we believe that you gave us this message for a reason. To warn your people today to beware, Lord God. And Father, we thank you for the remainder of the day, for the water baptismal service this afternoon and tonight's service with our brethren. Thank you for the food, Lord. We bless it to our bodies, and we thank you for your provision. Again, we bless this campground. We pray your blessing to be upon it. And God, we ask that you send the finances in to this place, that you bless this place, that you send, I loose those finances. God, I loose the angels to go and send the finances in to this campground, Lord, for the needs that these people have here. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. God bless you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.